Our first reading this morning was very short. It was less than four verses long, but very important. One commentator says, it would be hard to overestimate the value of Abraham's call. Here begins God's plan to bring redemption to the world. Abraham's father had set out from Ur in the Chaldees to go to Canaan, but only got as far as Haran, which is probably somewhere in southeastern Turkey. And then the great story of the Hebrew people begins with these few lines. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him. The Lord spoke to Abraham apparently without any warning. There is no indication that Abraham and his family were believers. There wasn't even a category of believer or non-believer. We don't know what happened before God suddenly said to Abraham, go, and Abraham went. Author Thomas Cahill has argued that this is the beginning of the understanding of human history as a sequence of unfolding events moving forward in time. Prior to Abraham, he says, the ancient people saw life as some kind of endless circle of birth and death. But when Abraham heard God, he began a journey in which actions have consequences and the ideas of linear time and history were born. Abraham was a young man at this point. I tend to think of Abraham as an old guy with a big beard, a bit like Moses. But he was a young man when he set out on this epic journey. A journey which reverberates through the millennia and influences our lives today as one of the founding stories that Jesus must have known inside and out and which were woven into the very fabric of his teaching and ministry. I do wonder how young Abraham heard God. Was it a voice? Was it an inkling? Was it a desire that later he looked back on and said, Well, of course God called me. And was this the first time that he heard God speak? And how did he know which way to go when God just said, go from your country? Abraham went on faith that God was truly speaking to him and that God would show him the way. And this has become the model for our own journeying, our own pilgrimage toward the land that God has promised us, the coming fully manifest reign of God. And what does God promise? That Abraham will be a blessing. Because God covenants with him, all those who align with him will similarly find themselves blessed. Abraham is to leave three things, his country, his kindred, and his father's house. And God's covenant is that he will bless him, make him well known, and the patriarch of a great nation. That Abraham himself will be a blessing. And God is calling to St. Benedict's today to continue the journey that Abraham started and to continue the journey that we have started. To leave behind things which are familiar and comfortable, that feel like home and family, and go towards the land that God will show us. It's not easy. It's not easy to think that we must leave behind some of the things we hold dear, but that is always the way in the spiritual path. Actually, it's the way of life in the secular world as well. Change happens. Again and again, we leave behind a situation that has been comfortable and we move to a new situation. And just as we have adjusted and feel that once again, these are the good days of our lives, we find that we need to change or that things are changing around us. Sometimes we can say, well, God told me. And other times we look back and say, I had no idea that God was calling me, but look what happened. Back in 1987, it was very clear to me that God was telling me to move to the States. At the time, I was part of the leadership of a spiritual community in Scotland, but not feeling ready to continue. and my then partner Robin wanted to be nearer her family in Virginia. And we had made a deep friendship with some women who live in the Blue Ridge, and my heart wanted to be close to them. And then I heard a speaker say something like, "If God is telling you to move to a different country, you had better pay attention." It was clearly a God thing. But when Robin ended our relationship some 5 years later, I did not hear God speaking to me. Yet as I looked at my situation and I prayed, I heard two things very clearly. The first, that it was finally time to see if I had a call to the priesthood. And the second was the phone ringing. It was Jill calling to reconnect. And so I came to California to see her, fell in love, moved to Los Osos because St. Benedict's had a woman priest at the time, discovered that I had settled in one of the most dioceses most friendly to gay people. And the rest, as they say, is history. Looking back, I can say with confidence that Robin leaving me was the best thing that could have happened. But it did not feel like it at the time. At the time, I was devastated. And we don't know how Abraham felt about leaving his country, his kindred, and his father's house. And of course, the biblical record does not even mention his wife, Sarah. I wonder how Sarah felt. Was this something that she was excited about, or was it just Abraham's crazy idea? Did she grieve leaving her home and all that was familiar to her to become a nomad? I know that on the surface, my leaving St. Benedict's does not feel like a good thing to most of us. I am sure that it is the right thing for me. And so in God's divine economy, it is also the right thing for St. Benedict's. Yet things have changed since the pandemic. We are smaller in number. People have moved away. Fewer new people have joined us. We have aged. We do not have a Sunday musician. We are not getting together so much in person for the good conversations we enjoyed in the past. Things are different. But on the positive side, we have finished the building. We have nearly repaid the loan, which seemed so overwhelming that it threatened to close us down. We have learned to meet and pray and support one another online. We have Deacon Jen with their positive energy and the intention of creating a church for the future. And we still enjoy each other's company, mostly. There is grief for all of us in this time of change. And it's important that we acknowledge that. It's different from each of us. Some of us will feel like coming to church less often. Some of us will find that things which have always irritated us, irritate us a lot more. I don't know how it will be for you or for me, but I welcome conversations with you about it and about anything else that you'd like to consider together. I also recommend that you talk to one another. Abraham was told to leave, and he did not know where he was going. We don't know where St. Benedict's will be in 5 years, but we do know that if we pay attention, God is leading us. One of the ways that we pay attention is by sharing our hopes and our fears, our inklings and our knowings, because God speaks to us in many different ways. And particularly through each other. We all have a different piece of the picture. And as we pray and read scripture together and put those pieces together, it will become clearer. God's covenant was that God would bless Abraham and make him a blessing. That covenant is also God's covenant with the people of St. Benedict's. God longs to make us a blessing to one another and to the community of Los Osos and beyond. God longs to bless the planet through our faithfulness. And God is already doing that. God blesses the planet through the service that we give God and our neighbor. Through Earth Care, through the Abundance Shop, through Los Osos Cares, through Laundry Love, through community dinners and People's Kitchen, And through the myriad ways each one of you touches the people around you, every loving smile you give, every prayer you say is a blessing. The God who calls us to leave safety and goes where she calls is also the God who blesses abundantly. I'm going to close with a blessing written by Jan Richardson for World Communion Sunday. It's called, "And the table will be wide. And the table will be wide, and the welcome will be wide, and the arms will open wide to gather us in, and our hearts will open wide to receive. And we will come as children who trust there is enough, and we will come unhindered and free, and our aching will be met with bread, and our sorrow will be met with wine. And we will open our hands to the feast without shame, and we will turn toward one another without fear, and we will give up our appetite for despair, and we will taste and know of delight, and we will become bread for a hungering world, and we will become drink for those who thirst. And the blessed will become the blessing, and everywhere will be the feast."